Okay, our last teller is from Minnesota. He has told at 3 national events in the last year and a half, but this is more important. He is a seasonal park ranger and lives in a lighthouse. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Stowell.
This is the small world syndrome. I used to know 3 guys who had a nose flute trio. That's good. This story is called Pie. The year is 1986, and I'm driving a 1968 Chrysler Imperial LeBaron. It's the deluxe of the deluxe. It's got electric everything, which is not always the greatest because everything doesn't always work. Take the heat, for example. It never goes off. No matter what I do, the heat never goes off. And, you know, when I started this trip in early spring in Minnesota, that's not a big deal. But later in the journey, when I'm driving across the Mojave Desert, then it becomes something of a distraction. It's a boat of a car, painted two-tone blue, and I call it the Big Blue Thing. Big Blue! Big Blue cruises at 80, 90 miles an hour, just floating down the freeway with the semi-trailer trucks. And I bought it from a friend of mine early spring in 1986 in Minneapolis, and I paid $250 for it. And I told my friend, I'm driving this car to California. I'm going to drive it around in the mountains there for 3 months because I have a job working as a seasonal park ranger at Sequoia Kings Canyon National Park, and then I'm driving it back here to Minnesota. And my friend looked right at me and said, Jesus Christ, Jim, no. Are you crazy? I mean, this is a $250 car, man. Come on. But I did drive it to California. I did drive it around in the mountain for 3 months, and I am driving it back to Minnesota. It's the night of the third day, and it's late at night, and I stopped to take a break in an all-night fast food franchise place outside of Des Moines, Iowa, and I order myself a piece of apple pie. I can honestly say in 1986, either by car, train, truck, bus, or hitchhike, I'd been going up and down, back and forth, and around this country for 20 years. And every time I stopped, no matter where it was, I ordered myself a piece of apple pie. I had been doing apple pie research in this country for 20 years. And it all started with my grandmother on my father's side. We called her Grandmama. And my grandparents on my father's side lived in a little tiny town way up in the North Texas panhandle, and they had 2 apple pies in their backyard. And when Grandmama made an apple pie, there was no promise on this earth that I would keep, and everybody knew it. I mean, because I stole one of those apple pies one time and went off all by myself and tried to eat the whole thing. Well, of course, I got sick. And I can still remember my grandmama looking at me. I'm lying on the floor looking up at her, and she said, just look at you, boy. You like a hound dog gone crazy. One day, my grandmama made 3 apple pies. And then she and my mother unlocked the closet door. They had to keep this door locked because inside was a stepladder. And they took this stepladder out to the dining room and set it up in front of the family hutch. The family hutch was huge. It was at least 8 feet tall. It had scrolling across the top. It was this wide, and it had glass doors. And inside was shelf after shelf after shelf of the family's crystal, glass, and china. And then there was this big wooden shelf, you know, like all of these pieces of furniture have, where you open the doors, you take the plates and the platters out and put them on that shelf. And underneath that, there were 2 drawers with tablecloths, linens, things like that. So my mother climbed to the top of the ladder. My grandmother handed her each of those pies one at a time, and she put them in a row right across the top of the family hutch. And then the 2 of them walked outside to sit on the front porch and sit in the swing and enjoy a glass of Asti. You know, you folks know what that is, right? Asti? Okay, that's iced tea. Okay, and so they're having a glass of Asti. I smelled those pies from blocks away and came like a heat-seeking missile. Right to the back door and stopped. Crept into the kitchen. Now, I didn't expect the pies to really be in there, but hope springs eternal in the heart of a little boy when he's on the track of apple pie. Of course, the pies were not there, but the smell was intoxicating. I was drunk with it, and I reeled over to the kitchen door, peeked into the dining room, and looked right at the top of the hutch. Now, my mother and my grandmother had to constantly change the places where they hid the apple pies from me. And lately, they had been using the family hutch, and it was working for them because I hadn't been able to figure out how to get those pies. But I'd been thinking about it. And so I looked up now, and I didn't see one apple pie. I saw three apple pies, and I knew right at that moment it was my destiny to get these three apple pies across the dining room, across the living room, peek out the curtains onto the front porch, and there's my mother and my grandmother sitting on the swing. It's the chief of apple pie police and the sheriff of apple pie police in the same place at the same time. I knew I had to try for those pies back to the dining room, and I very quietly, very carefully moved one of the chairs over to the edge of the hutch. I'd been thinking about this, and I climbed onto the chair and then up onto that big wooden shelf. But in order to stand on the shelf, my feet had to be kind of wedged out like this, and I had to press my face up against the glass. In fact, my whole body was squeezed up against the glass, and I was holding on to either side like this, and the pies were just right there. The smell was driving me crazy. The door handles on this hutch were not actually door handles. There were these two big round wooden knobs. I was barefooted, of course. And so what I did was I shifted my hands and shifted my weight until I was leaning way over, and then I reached up with my left foot, bent it all the way up until I wrapped my toe around that knob, and then I pulled up and used my hands, went, and actually ended up with my hand right up on the top. When I did that, it really changed the center of gravity in the hutch. And I was holding with this toe, my hand here, my hand, and it leaned right away from the wall towards me. And stopped. And I was hanging there, waiting for the apple pie police to come in and catch me, literally red-handed. But they didn't hear it. The pies were so close, my hand could almost touch them. It was driving me nuts. I got an idea. I would push with my left, pull up with my right hand, and reach up and grab one of the pies. Unfortunately, this was as far as I ever reached in the planning process. And at that age, and some people will tell you to this very day, I had a tendency to put my plans into action just as soon as I thought of them. So I pushed, and I pulled, and I reached. This really changed the center of gravity in the hutch. And it leaned again away from the wall. In these few brief moments, as the family's generations of crystal, glass, and china teetered between salvation and destruction, I did not call out for help because I thought I could still save it. And it... I couldn't. And the whole thing fell right on top of me with this tremendous crash. Years later, my mother and I were discussing this event, and she said, "Well, Jim, your grandmother and I heard this noise, and we jumped up and we ran in, and there you were." And it was kind of awful and funny at the same time. I mean, the whole thing had fallen right on you and squished you, but part of your arm was sticking out. You looked like something from a Roadrunner cartoon. And I knew instantly what had happened. You'd pull that whole thing down on yourself just because you was trying to steal one of those pies. You could be such a bad boy. And I knew exactly, and I thought to myself, I had never been more angry at anybody in my whole life, ever. And I looked right down at you, and I said, and I yelled this out, Jim, even though you know, there was your grandmother, and she's a Baptist. I said, "Damn you, Jim Bob, I am going to kill you for this." But I just couldn't, honey. You were bleeding too much. It was something of a little miracle. The whole thing had fallen right on me, and it had squashed me indeed, but I wasn't really seriously hurt at all. I mean, I didn't have any broken bones, I didn't have a concussion, nothing like that at all. But I was cut in 17 places. But even that's a part of the little miracle. I mean, none of those cuts were serious, but man, was there a lot of blood. And that's how I became known around the neighborhood as the kid who was willing to die for apple pie. Thank you.
Excellent, thank you. Would the tellers please stand, the ones who told today? Please give them another nice round of applause. Before I end this, I have one more thing to say. This is one of the many reasons you ought to be proud to belong to NSN. You have a great evening and a great concert. Thank you very much.